Praise the Lord. Amen. He is a mighty, awesome God. Amen? Amen. And when we sing in this place, we're not just singing in this building, but in this tabernacle. Amen? In our lives. Amen. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. God bless you, musicians. Thank you. And good to be with you this morning again. And just greet you in the name of the Lord. And good to see everyone here this morning. I know next week, my father-in-law would always say, you know, you're leaving me like a plucked chicken. Everybody would go somewhere out of town, and so that's what we will feel like next week when so many will be gone. But amen, we'll be praying for those that are traveling. Amen. Amen. And we just want to continue to pray for Brother Doug, amen, as he's on vacation, amen, and just pray that he's able to get good and rested, and amen, that when he's ready to go back to work, he'll jump right back in the saddle, as we know he will, and that God will just give him new strength, amen, give him a renewed vision, renewed courage, and all those things that we need, and we just need our batteries recharged sometimes. Amen? Amen. Well, do you love the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. Certainly glad to be in the house of God and looking forward to everything that God has for us. Amen. You know, we are a blessed people, and our message and our vision, the message of the Bible is positive. Amen. It's good news. That's what the gospel means, good news. And you know that if you're a Christian and you're wearing a frown, there's a mismatch somewhere, right? It's not to say you aren't a Christian, but you just need to get realigned with the good news. Amen. Because when we're walking in Him and in His Spirit and in His Word, it's all positive. Amen. Amen. Everything that God has been doing, has done and is doing, is for our benefit and for our good. That's what Romans 8:28 expresses. Amen. That God is good, and the things that He's doing is for our good. And though they seem hard at the time, we don't see the goodness in it all the time, it's for our good. And in the end of it, someday we will see and look back and see God was good. Amen. And He brought me through that, and I see what the plan was. We may not see it till the other side in some cases, but we will see it. Amen. Amen. You love Him this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand this morning and read just one verse to get us started this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Amen. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. We don't have a big text this morning, but the quality of it is what's important. Amen. What it says to us. So this morning we want to speak to you on the subject of being made alive. And of course we know that quickened, which is a strange word to us today, it's not a word that we use in our normal vocabulary, but it means to be made alive. And so that's our subject here this morning. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord with a word of prayer this morning. And there were many requests already made, but we also had a request to pray for our brother Ben Norod. Those of you that know him, he's real sick with pneumonia in the hospital and awaiting his COVID test. Whether it's COVID or not, it doesn't matter. He's sick and he needs the healer. Amen. So let's just remember him. Father, we just want to come to You this morning, Lord, approaching Your Word, Lord, with all the humility, Lord, and the reverence that we have, Father, knowing that it's Your Word, that it's You speaking to us, Lord. But we also know that Lord, You gave it to us. It was the Word was spoken and written for our benefit, for us to take it and to break it down and to consume it and make it a part of our lives and let it instruct us. It was for us. So we want to do that today, Lord. We want to take advantage of your word. We want to eat the book, Lord. We want to let the word guide us and lead us and shape us and mold us. So, Father, we just want to set ourselves aside this morning for that purpose, and may you be glorified, Father. We pray for our brother Benjamin this morning, who's in the hospital, Lord, and just pray that you would intervene on his behalf and touch him and heal him, raise him out of that bed of affliction, Lord. Lord, and so many suffering, Lord, in this time, Father, with sickness throughout the land, Lord, and I just pray that you would just be with your people everywhere, Father, and just be, you're the healer, Lord, and I pray that through these trials that your people would be able to see you more clearly as a healer. They would know you as the healer. Lord, they would see their promises in the Word, and that they would be able to take a hold of those promises and make them theirs, and that would be manifested in their bodies. And Lord, we pray that this morning for us, Lord, if there's needs here in the body, Lord, that your word would come and heal us. Amen. How we thank you and love you, Lord. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory that you are due, for you are a great and awesome and mighty God. Lord, we're privileged to be called according to your name, Lord. And we want you to have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in Ephesians chapter 2, I like how Paul says, he says, you he hath quickened. Amen. You he hath quickened. And you know, so much of the our life as Christians depends on us taking the scripture for ourselves. Amen. And receiving it as it's written to us. Amen. And saying, that you, he's speaking to me. When he says you, I'm hearing God. I'm hearing the messenger, Paul, who's speaking the word of the Lord. He's saying you. Amen. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you. I'm looking to you. Are you listening? You hath he quickened. Amen. This applies to you if you've been quickened. Amen. If you haven't been quickened, you can be quickened. You can be made alive. Those that have been born again by the Spirit of God, he is speaking to you, he hath quickened, who were dead, past tense, no longer dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. This one scripture just so encapsulates our Christianity. Amen. It just captures the transforming power of God. That you were one way and now you're another. You're no longer the way that you were. Yes, you can acknowledge I was dead. I was a sinner. But now I've been made alive. Now I've got new life. You he hath quickened. Amen. From death unto life. Amen. We were born into death. Is that right? We were mortal beings, and we celebrate when a baby is born, and it's such a miraculous thing, and a new life coming forth, and all the promise and hope of what, wonder what they'll do, and wonder what they'll be, and what they'll be like, and it's new life. But yet, for every child, whether it's human or any other animal, every baby that's born, it's also a promise of death. Amen. And we don't want to think of it that way. We don't, you know, we want to look at the optimistic side of it. But the truth, that's the truth. In this fallen world, everything that is born, there's a cycle where it will go into the ground and die. Amen? And it's just part of the fallen world that we live in because sin has entered in to this world. Amen? It's not in the condition that God made it. It's not what God's original thought of the earth was, or the original plan is life. God didn't create that. But it fell through sin and unbelief, and that's the position that we find ourselves. Amen? It's only by the life that we have can only be sustained by taking other life. whether it's animal life or plant life or whatever, we consume something that has given its life, and it's a cycle. Amen? Amen. You probably heard that term, the circle of life, right? You know, this animal dies and that animal eats it, and then something eats that animal and something eats that, and it's just a big circle. Everything's, you know, God, you know, even in the fallen condition, there's an order to it. Amen. But really, if we think about it, it's a circle of death.
Right.
Amen. That's really what it is, because when we talk about a circle of life, oh, brother, sister, when we've been quickened and made alive, we've entered into a circle of life where there is no death. Amen? Eternal life where there is no cycle, where that cycle is broken, where it's not you have a new life coming forth and you know someday it's going to die and end. No, this quickening, this being made alive doesn't have a death at the end of it. That cycle is broken, and now it's an eternity of life. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. This is the life where we've been made, we've been quickened. Amen. And there's no death that follows it. I'm so glad of that. Amen. So how did this happen? How did this quickening come about? It's because He came looking for us. Oh, hallelujah. As soon as the cycle of life, the circle of life where there was no death, was broken in the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned and broke eternal life, and time came in, and to the earth was fallen and sin entered in, immediately God came looking. Amen. He came seeking after Adam, crying out, Adam, Adam, where are you? Amen. Adam and Eve fell, and the whole world had fallen with them. And yet God is there looking for His Son. Adam, the world is, all of a sudden, the world is now cast into darkness in terms of sin, and death has entered in. Amen. Man, who was placed as the governor of the earth, has now fallen, and he's looking for his Son. He wasn't out there calling the name of the serpent. He wasn't out there calling the name of some other animal. He was calling for his Son. And he was seeking, and he was looking. Adam, where are you? Death had intruded on their paradise, but the life giver was on the scene.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The one that originally created the life was there. Amen. God, or Adam, wasn't looking for him. Adam was hiding from him. He was shaken like a leaf in fear behind the leaves. Amen. Hiding from God, hiding from His presence, fearful because of what He's done, experiencing fear and dread for the first time. But Adam was looking for, or God was looking for him. God was what he needed. God, the life giver, was the only one that had the solution. He had the only way back to that paradise. Is that right? Let's read a statement here from Jehovah Jireh. He says, now, what's the next thing for the church then? If that was the last sign he gave to Abraham before the fire fell and destroyed the wickedness, then what will it be to his seed? The same thing. He did the same thing. What did he do? He called him. He gave him a covenant. Who called you? Some people say, I sought God and sought God. No, you never did. No one else ever did. It's God seeking man. Hallelujah. No man seeks God. God seeks man. He proved that in the Garden of Eden. Instead of confessing, he was hiding, and God was seeking him. Another thing, did you notice God never sent an angel down to hunt up his lost child? He came himself. That's the reason that Jesus was made God flesh among us. God came himself to redeem his child. It was a man-sized job and nobody could do it but him. So he came to redeem his own child.
Amen.
Amen. This whole story is a story of God seeking after that which was lost.
Amen.
God seeking after man. Amen? If anyone has any life, no matter what kind of life it is, it came from God. It came from him. It's a gift from the life giver himself. Amen? He's the one that started it. He's the giver of life. I'm quickened today because he came looking for me. Amen. If you have life today, it's because he came after you. He came seeking you to give you that life. Amen. He started it. Amen. He's the one that's going to finish it. Hallelujah. Is that your testimony this morning? You never sought God, but he came after you. You say, no, I know there was something in me. There was a burning desire. There was, like Brother Branham says, I sought and I sought. I prayed all night. I cried and fasted maybe with tears. And yeah, you did all that in response.
Amen.
Amen. You did that because he was calling.
Amen.
Amen. And there was something in you to respond to the call. Amen. You were just reacting to what was happening. But thank God for that. Thank God that you reacted. Amen. Hallelujah. This statement from the law having a shadow, he says, if there's one thing that you could do to merit it, then you'd have something to brag about. Oh, he's not going to share his glory. Amen. No man can glory. Amen. It's all him. He says, you'd have something to brag about then. He says, but Lord, I sought you day and night, but you can't say that to him. He said, no man can come unto me except my Father draws him. And God seeks man and not man seeking God. So you don't have one thing to say, but God, it was your grace that did it. And then as long as you're accepted in the beloved, how can God bring you into judgment when he's already judged Christ in your stead?
Amen.
Oh, we're going to get into something here, brother, sister. If he's the one doing the calling, if he's the one that did not you, but he's the one that drew you, it's his work. You didn't just suddenly make this up and decide, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do this. No, that was him.
Amen.
Amen. And if that is true, which it is, look at what he says. He's already judged Christ in your stead. How could you have to suffer for your sins when Christ has already done it?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He has been judged on your behalf. Your sins were judged in him. Listen to what he says. God would be a two-timer and an awful person. That's right. When it was thoroughly paid by Jesus Christ and you accepted it. As long as God accepted Christ, he accepted you with Christ. Amen. That's what it means to receive him, to accept him. Amen. He comes and offers and he moves on you and he desires you and seeks you and draws you. And you say, I accept.
Amen.
I accept. Be Lord. Be God. Fill me with your spirit. What that means is as long as God has accepted Christ, he's accepted you with Christ. When did he do that? Before the foundation of the world. When he spoke it into existence. He spoke you redeemed with him. Remember, the Bible says that before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain. Right? Slain in the mind of God. God knew everyone that would be in the Lamb. Everyone. Every predestinated seed was in the Lamb.
Amen.
And redeemed and slain right there.
Amen.
Think about it. What we're doing is just manifesting it out. Amen?
Amen.
He says, he spoke you redeemed with him. Now don't choke on this. Amen. Your names was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And then you're scared. Amen. He says, oh, if I could just keep holding on. I quit that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Amen. How many of us, be honest, how many of you have ever said, oh, if I could just. Yeah. Right? Maybe if I could just this. Or maybe if I could, if I can, right? If I can just keep holding on. He's expressing, right, that thought. But then he says, look, I quit doing that a long time ago. I never did even try it in the first place. I just turned loose and let him do the holding.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Someone said when I was sick that time and when I got over it, said, Brother Brown, did you keep your religion during your sick spell? Remember, he was so sick, he couldn't eat anything. He was losing his vision. He literally couldn't eat, right? He had to drink, I think, broth, barley, something. I don't know, whatever. But his stomach was in such a mess, the doctors couldn't do anything for him. He became malnourished. His head would start to shake because he couldn't see. It looked bad. It was all downhill, right? But then God came on the scene. And God healed him. And that's what he's talking about. He says, did you keep your religion during that? He said, no, sir. It kept me. That's the difference. That's what happened. Brother, sister, if all you got is religion, it ain't going to keep you. But if your religion has life in it, that life will keep you. Amen? That's the difference. So Christ has already suffered and thoroughly paid for our sins. Amen? So why do we try and pay a debt that's already been paid? It's like going to a bank. There's a loan out, right? The loan gets paid for, and you continually go into the bank. Well, I just feel really guilty about this. Can I make a payment on this loan? And they'll look at you like you're crazy, right? That loan doesn't exist anymore. We've closed the books. It's done. It's off the books. We don't even worry about it anymore. It's paid for, done. It's off in a safe somewhere. Nobody even looks at it anymore. Hallelujah. The debt has already been paid. Oh, brother, sister. How can we live in this condemnation? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. It's already done. What are we going to do to pay for something that's already done? When he spoke you into existence, he spoke you in Christ. Redeemed in him. Now you had to accept it. He had to go to the cross and die. All those things had to be played out. Right? But they will happen exactly as it's laid out in the Word, because it's designed that way. It's predestinated. Amen. We've got to stop trying. Stop holding on and let him hold us. If you're resting on your ability to hold on to him, you're going to lose strength. You're going to lose heart. The enemy is going to be able to come against you and say, see, you did this, or you didn't do that. And you'll look at it and you'll say, you're right. But if you've got a revelation that, look, you're right, but I'm not the one that's doing the holding. He's the one. He's got a hold of me. And he won't let go. Oh, what peace. And that peace and joy found me. Oh, that's the beautiful thing, brother, sister. Amen. You didn't go looking for it. He came looking for you. So if he came looking for you, there was a reason behind it. Amen. Look at this, Romans 3:10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Amen. And a lot of times when we speak like a salvation message and we're talking about, you know, trying to convince people that you're a sinner, right? That's the scripture we go to. There is none righteous. But he says, there is none that understandeth, and there is none that seeketh after God. Amen. That was the condition that we find ourselves in, dead and trespasses in sin. None could say, I made myself righteous. Amen? We have to be able to admit that. But we also have to be able to admit that He did. Amen. He is righteous. Amen? John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. In Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's none that seeketh after God. No man can come to me except the Father draws him, and then I will raise him up. But the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Just as Adam was called by name. Right? He wasn't running through the garden and saying, hey, whosoever will, humans. Right? He was calling him specifically to Adam. That was Adam's call. Every one of Jesus' disciples, he called them. Amen. He went to them personally and called them. You follow me. You follow me by name, right? Had a personal connection with them, and they heard his voice, and they knew that he was calling them to walk with him. Amen. Well, we don't hear his voice audibly, but yet we receive a personal call. Amen. Saul saw him in a vision. Right, where he came and that bright light that blinded him and said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Came and called him by name. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Why are you kicking against the pricks? Amen. A personal call to him. Amen. He came after him. He sought after him. After all that Saul did, after he wasted and destroyed and killed, martyred the church of the living God. Yeah. He was in Christ. Amen. He was predestinated. Amen. Paul didn't have it, or Saul didn't have a desire. He wasn't out there looking for Jesus. He was looking for the followers of Jesus to kill them. But yet, Jesus was looking for him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He went after him. Amen? Oh, glory to God. He was seeking us and calling us, and we responded. We heard him call through his word, through the preaching of the word, through a testimony, through someone speaking about the goodness of God, and we began to get thirsty. Right? Something in us began to stir, and that was God drawing you and calling you. And saying, look, this life that you've been living, this isn't why I created you. Amen. I created you for a higher calling. Amen. Come, follow me. Amen. And they left their nets. Amen. You thought you were just a fisherman, but I'll make you a fisher of men. You thought you were just an ordinary person living in Arizona, but I'm making you a child of God. I've got a plan for your life. I've got something that you know nothing about right now, but someday, amen, you're going to see the glory of God revealed in your life. I've made you to be these things in your life that have got you, that have beat you down and it seems like there's no way out. I've got a solution for you. And I'm going to make you an overcomer. I've got a different plan for your life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what good news. Amen. Amen. But he was coming after you. He was seeking to save that which was lost. Well, as we've heard many times, for something to be lost, it had to belong in the first place. Amen? Amen. That means it had to belong to him in the beginning or before the beginning. But yet it was lost. And so he went looking for it. Praise the Lord. It's okay to confess that you're lost. Amen? You have to confess. Without him, I'm lost. Without him, I am weak. Without him, I'm vulnerable. Amen? I'm defeated without him. But with him. Amen. Since he found me. Hallelujah. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Amen. I'm not vulnerable any longer. Now, with him, I can do all things. I'm invincible, right? Not in our flesh, of course, but in our spirit, in our soul, the devil can't touch you. Amen. I'm strong. I used to be weak, but now I am strong through him. Through my weakness, he's been made strong. I'm no longer defeated, but now I'm victorious. Because he made me alive. He gave me a life that I thought I had. But now I really possess it. Amen? The life that he had. The same life, brother, sister. The same life that was in Christ Jesus. That raised him from the dead is the life that he gives to us. You he hath quickened. You he hath given that life to. That means that death has no hold on you. Just like it held no hold on him, it couldn't keep him down. Amen. He stayed down for 3.5 days for a purpose, so that he could go down into hell, defeat death, hell, the grave, take back the keys, amen, and all those things. Kick in the door of Satan's kingdom. Amen. But death had no power over him. Why? Because the life. That life, death has no power over it. Amen. Death is just a tool. It's part of this sin cycle. But once that sin cycle is broken. Hallelujah. Life. Amen. The life that's now in you and me. Ephesians 2 verse 2 says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even just like everybody else, even as others, just like everyone else. Amen. Just ordinary fallen man, right? Walking according to the course of the world, doing the best you can with, you know, what you know, and affected by the things going on in the world, right? Leaning on man's devices for your strength, leaning on institutions, leaning on traditions and family and strengths, and looking to heroes, and looking to great men and women that could influence you, right? And that could be someone, an idol, someone that you look up to. Right, great writers and poets and generals and leaders and men that the world holds up, and you look to that for your inspiration, and that's your strength, and those are all things that we do in the course of this world. Amen. But it all is falling apart. It all has its weaknesses. It none of it lasts. It's all fallen. Earth, and it's all subject to death. Amen. We just did our best walking through the world, subject to the prince of the power of the air. Amen. Just enslaved. Do whatever that society told us was best, whatever that the prince of the power of the air decided. Amen? People walking through this life according to the course of this world, you know, they look to Hollywood for entertainment, and they look to it for leadership, right? They hold it up. They hold up famous people, celebrities, and things are held up that said, this is good, and this is happiness, and this is what you want to achieve, and this is the direction that you want to take your life. Amen? This is happiness. This is how you obtain joy. And Satan sells that to us and to our young people. Amen? These are the idols. This is the best. But it's all lies. It's all lies. It's all rotten. It looks good, but it's all rotten. It has no foundation. It's fallen and falling and falling. It's the nature of wrath. Amen? Think about that. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But the story doesn't stop there. For us. Amen? Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. For by grace you are saved. See, we weren't looking for him, but he came looking for us. Amen. He came and showed us a different way. He said, it can be different than this. This is all you've known, but there's another way. Amen? There's a different life. There's a new life that you can have, and you can live in that new life. We were just doing our best by what we were told and what we knew. But then God came on the scene. Rich in mercy, he loved us, and his love constrained him. Amen? It drew him. It forced him. His love compelled him to come after me. To come after you. Why? Because you were lost. And it was his love. The grace wherewith he loved us. Amen? His great love, it says, wherewith he loved us. We belonged to him. But yet we were lost. Hallelujah. It was an overriding force that no matter what you look like, his love came for you. Is that right? I'm reminded of the parable of the Good Shepherd. Right? Where Jesus said that look, if there's a shepherd, and if he's a good shepherd, what good shepherd doesn't leave the 99 and go after the one that was lost? Amen? He goes after it. Even if he's got 99 other sheep, amen? He'll leave them behind because his love constrains him to go for the one. And he doesn't rest until he finds it. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that, brother and sister. Amen. He goes after that lost sheep. It wasn't the lost sheep finding its way home. Amen. You didn't find your way to Christ. You didn't just decide, you know, I think it's a good time for me to, you know, go and I'm gonna go to Christ. I'm gonna approach him, and it's time. I'm gonna wind my way home. No, he came looking for you. Now that sheep, once it realizes it's lost, it begins to cry out. It begins to desire. It begins to know, hey, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Something happens right to it, but it can't find its way home. It can't do it. It requires the shepherd. So he goes after that lost one until he finds it. He doesn't rest until he finds it. He says, I will not lose one. And when he finds it, the Bible says. When. Not if. But when he finds it. He lifts it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Amen. Then he comes home and calls all his friends together and says, look. My lost sheep has been found, and they, with rejoicing, have a big party. Amen. They're not bitter. Oh, well, you know, that sheep, he shouldn't have wandered off. What was he thinking? No, they're happy.
Amen.
Amen. Brother and sister, what a picture this is to the heart of God. Amen. He couldn't stay in heaven knowing that his sheep were lost. He came after me. He came after you. Amen. That sheep, it might have wandered off. It's bleeding in the wilderness. It's out in the mountains. Amen. It couldn't make it back on its own. But the shepherd didn't regard his own safety. He didn't regard his own feelings. Amen. His own comfort. He went after the sheep. He was single-minded. It wasn't like he was going to go look for it a little while and then go do something else. Right? That sheep was out there amongst the predators. And he knows that it won't survive on its own. So he's not haphazard about it. He's not lackadaisical about it. He's focused. His energy is aimed squarely at the task. Amen? Single-minded, I've got to find that lost sheep. Without me, it won't survive. It can't handle the being out there in the cold and the dark. It can't be out on the mountain. It can't find food on its own. There's wolves and coyotes and mountain lions. And they love to feast on fat sheep. Amen? And that sheep is no match for them. They're designed to be top predators. Amen? They're made to, they've got the claws and they're quiet and they know exactly how to hunt their prey and they're designed that way. But that sheep, he's made to follow. Amen. He's that sheep is made to listen to the shepherd, to follow the shepherd. He can't fight the mountain lion. He can't fight the coyote. He can't fight the wolf. He's not designed to figure out where the best place to go and where the safety is. And he's made to follow the shepherd. And he's out there and he's lost. And the shepherd will climb mountain after mountain. And he'll go through briars and risk his own life. And in our case, give his own life. Amen. To find that sheep, to rescue that sheep. Amen? Yeah. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If there's a question, there's an answer. If there's a desire, there's an answer. If you're seeking, you'll find. Amen? Why? Because the desire comes second. Amen. The only reason there's a desire is because there's something to meet that desire already there. Amen. Anybody craving donuts this morning? Well, you are now, aren't you, after I mentioned it? The only reason you can crave a donut is because a donut exists. Well, I shouldn't have picked donuts. All the things you could have picked, and you pick that. Krispy Kreme donuts. Amen. But for that desire to be there, it has to exist, right? Why does the fish have fins on its back? Because there's water that it swims in. If there was no ocean or water, a fish wouldn't have fins, right? It's pretty simple, right? There's an assurance that if there's something in you crying out, that thing that it's crying out for is already working on the other end. If you're asking, it's already there waiting for you. Now we're talking about spiritual things. We're not talking about sports cars. Although the sport car does exist, right? You wouldn't have a desire for it if it wasn't there. Amen. But God has promised that in these things, in our hearts, if there's a pull, there's something on the other end that's already working. Amen. Now, brother, sister, God's word is true.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's true for you and me, and it's also true for God. So if God is seeking something, he will find it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's a God-given desire that's put in you to draw you to him. Amen. And it exists because it's reflecting him pulling. Amen. He's drawing and pulling and seeking you. And all of a sudden, you feel this desire and this, right? Where did that come from? It didn't just come out of thin air. It came because something on the other side was pulling you. Something in that spiritual realm, something in another dimension that's drawing your heart. Amen? That shepherd is calling for his sheep. Hallelujah. That sheep that was out and he was lost knew he didn't belong out there. He came to that realization. Right? He didn't at first, otherwise he wouldn't have got lost. But he came to that realization and he realized that he was lost. And that word lost in there, it means given to destruction. It's a death sentence. Amen? Oh, but that shepherd, he finds that sheep. When he finds him shivering in the cold and just in the mountains where he doesn't belong, surrounded by predators, hungry, scared, not able to make it on his own. And that sheep knows it. Amen? What a relief when he hears the shepherd's voice. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, he's out looking for me. He's calling me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. I wanna go back, but I can't. I can't help myself, but he's calling me. I can hear him. He's seeking me. He's calling me. He's coming to me. With every message I hear, with every sermon that's preached, with every prayer, I hear him. He's calling me. He's drawing me. Maybe all you can do today is just call back. Maybe you don't even have strength to get up and go to the walk towards the sound, but all that sheep does, all he can do is call out, "Master Shepherd, here am I. Come get me. I can't go on. I'm lost. I'm cold. The devil's run me ragged. I know he's just around here, and if you don't come get me, he's going to take me." But then he comes. Hallelujah. God, who was seeking after his lost sheep, he comes and he finds you. Amen. And he doesn't say, "Come on, sheep, what's wrong with you? Get on your feet, let's go." He doesn't say that. He says, "Come here, child." Amen. And he puts him on his strength. The strongest part of a man. Amen. A man can lift more with his shoulders than any part of his body. He can carry heavy weight. And so God takes his little lost sheep and he puts him on his shoulders. He lifts him up with his strength. Amen. Hallelujah. The shepherd's not complaining. Amen. He's not out there saying, you goofy sheep, what in the world are you doing? Now I'm out here in the cold and the dark again. Here I am, and you know, you do this to me, and he's not complaining. He's rejoicing, the Bible says. He's happy, he's overcome with joy. That sheep caused him to go out in the dark, and maybe it's a storm, miserable, whatever. Briars, he's cut up. He's got scars. Amen. Those scars will be a memorial for us to remember. But he's rejoicing for the joy set before him. He's rejoicing that one more has been found. Hallelujah. And he's giving you life. Oh, that's his desire this morning, brother, sister, is to give us life. Amen. To pluck us up out of the midst of certain death and to give us life. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, verse 6. Says, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's lifted you up on his shoulders. Hallelujah. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved. Amen. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He's lifted us so high on his shoulders, brother, sister, all the way back into heavenly places. Amen. He's come and he plucks you out of this old sinful age, and he fills you with that new life and lifts you up. And we are made alive through him. Oh, hallelujah. What a promise this morning. Amen. What a word. What a gift. Amen. What a Savior. We've been given new life. We've been quickened. Amen. It's different than that old life of death. That old life looks like life, but it's not. But now it's new life. It's different life. It acts different. It talks different. It lives different. Amen. You're different now. It has different desires. Hallelujah. That life, brother, sister, was pulling us and drawing us up out of the world like a great magnet. Amen. I used to work for the company that I used to work for in California. There, we had machine shops. We had all kinds of fancy, you know, machines that would make all kinds of things. And so machine shops, you know, there's a lot of, when they're cutting metal and stuff, there's lots of metal and shavings and all kinds of stuff. And Brother Branham talks about this. He talks about visiting, I think, an ironworks or some sort of mill or something. And you find that in those situations where there's a lot of metal and materials and stuff that they use magnets, right, to separate out the metals. Because some metal is magnetic and some is not. Right? If a metal has some sort of iron in it, then the magnet can attract it. Right? If it doesn't, if it's like aluminum, we cut a lot of aluminum. And so it was kind of the opposite. So in our situation, we would cut a lot of aluminum, but there would get, and then we would recycle the aluminum, so we didn't want any iron or anything in it. So we'd use a magnet to go through the aluminum and make sure that we pulled out all of the pieces of iron that weren't aluminum, right? And you could just run that magnet through that, and that aluminum wouldn't be fazed by it, but you'd hear a thunk, right? And something that was iron would right to the magnet. And you could pull it out, and there it is. You might never have found it on your own digging through, or you probably would have cut yourself. This probably would have happened. But the magnet drew the metal that had iron in it. Amen? Because it was a different material. And it didn't matter what was on top of that material. It could have been plastic and aluminum and all kinds of stuff piled on it, and it didn't matter. How buried down it was, it didn't even matter how small it was, what shape it was in. It didn't matter if it had paint all over it. It didn't matter if it had something bolted to it. If it contained iron, that magnet had an effect on it. You might not even look at it and think that it was iron. Amen? It might have impurities. But as long as it contained iron. Now, it didn't matter what it looked like. What mattered, what was on the inside. Amen? It mattered how it was created. It was down in the molecules of it. You could have two pieces of metal that look just exactly the same. But down in the molecules, the magnet would tell you the difference. So that magnet would come down and draw. Hallelujah. It went looking for it. It went seeking after it, and it was pulling. Amen. An invisible force. I mean, and a powerful force too. You don't want to get your fingers in between. It would smash it. Right? A really powerful magnet. We've got the most powerful force in the universe, brother, sister. Amen. Now that magnet didn't make it iron. It was already iron. Its creator had made it iron. But the magnet came and showed what it was made of. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The light of this word, brother, sister, when it comes and it quickens, when the Holy Ghost begins to anoint. Amen. When the Holy Ghost rain comes, it doesn't determine what's in the seed. All it does is manifest what the seed is. So that gospel net goes forth. That word is preached. Amen. That Holy Ghost goes out and begins to draw and to pull. Amen. And it's going and it's drawing and it's pulling and it hits some aluminum. And the aluminum just goes right on in its business. Amen. Part of the order of this world, the course of this world, living by the prince of the power of the air, but there's nothing in it to respond to the magnet. Amen. It keeps going and hits some plastic. Same thing. And you think, my... This looks like it should be iron. It looks like a believer. They look like they should be, but there's no effect. Amen. I thought for sure that was a piece of iron. I mean, it looks like most of the pieces of iron I've seen. No, there's nothing in it. The magnet don't lie. Amen. And then it comes to another piece, and man, it's all worn out. Ugly, painted, chipped, whatever. Beat up. Amen. But there's an effect there. Suddenly it begins to pull. Hallelujah. That's what I was looking for. Another lost sheep. Something in them that says, that's the word. That's the truth. He's speaking my name. I'm hearing the call. And the other pieces are looking at him like, you crazy, man. No, don't you hear that? Can't you feel that pull? Can't you feel that? There's something in me that's stirring up my molecules. Amen. Amen. There's some energy happening here. Amen. And the other pieces of metal, just look at him like he's crazy. They don't know nothing about it. And to them it is crazy because they don't feel it. But that magnet begins to pull. And it's a call. It's seeking. It's looking. Amen? It's there for a purpose to pull that piece out of there. Amen? That's grace, brother, sister. That's grace. That piece of iron didn't do that on its own. The iron didn't decide it was going to be iron. You don't make yourself a sheep. God did that. God did that. It wasn't the iron's goodness or his strength or how good it looked or anything like that. It was just that the Creator had put something in it. Hallelujah. Something in it that could receive life. Something in it that could be pulled by the Word. No man can boast. Amen? No man can glory in himself. It's the grace of God that made you able to be drawn by the Word of God, able to hear the shepherd's voice, able to receive that quickening power. That life, that power can come down on a person that's not called to God, that's not predestinated according to that, and they'll just walk away from it. And something in you says, "Dear, didn't you hear what I heard? Didn't you feel what I felt?" Wait. Maybe they just didn't understand. Let me explain it to you again. Amen? But there's no seed there. There's nothing there to respond. Amen? And the sheep can't understand it. That's the shepherd. He's calling me. I've made mistakes. I've wandered off from time to time, but yet I hear his voice and I know where I belong. Let me just read you a few statements from the Message and we'll close on these. It says, this is the Easter seal. He says, "Now when this Holy Spirit, represented as eagles flying over the land, and finds the believer, no man can come to me. No man can come to me even if he wants to." That the sheep has no way to get back. Even if he wanted to, he has no power, right? He's the one with the ability. But he says, "But all that the Father hath given me will come to me." But no man can come by himself. It isn't your own thinking, your own drawing. It's God drawing. "All the Father hath given me will come." Now, the Holy Spirit is here on the earth, looking out those individuals that God has ordained to life in this age. And as soon as it finds it, it does just like it did on Jesus Christ, the great super Son of God who redeemed us all. It comes down and takes its place of abode into the human life. Now notice, it brought the quickening power. Now that quickening power that come upon Jesus quickened him to manifest every promise of the word of that day. And so does the Holy Spirit that comes upon us in this day. So you see, that Holy Ghost is the great magnet. Amen. And he says it's here on the earth looking out for those individuals that God has ordained to life in this age. But as soon as they're drawn and pulled, then he gives them that quickening power, that life. Amen. And brother, sister, when we receive that quickening power, look at what he says. He says that Jesus received it so that he would manifest every promise of the word in that day. And that's what the Holy Spirit comes upon us in this day. That's the purpose. Amen. It comes to manifest every promise of the word of the day. Amen. Amen. We've been saved for a purpose. Amen. This is not a Baptist message tonight where it's just, you know, about grace and how you're saved and, oh, you know, you were so awful and now you're saved. And that's all true. But there's a reason behind it. There's a purpose. It's not that you can continue to live in the dung heap. It's so that you can live a life worthy of the gospel, so that you can manifest his word, so that you can be quickened and made alive, so that you can go from that condition of death into the condition of life. And then you can be the instrument that God uses to give life to others.
Amen.
Amen. In spite of the world, we don't have the same appetites as the world. We don't live like the world.
Amen.
Amen? Because we're not of the world. We've been plucked out and given new life.
Yes.
That's why when you see a believer and they're living after the appetites of the world, then you have a right to ask the question, have you been plucked out? Have you been given new life? Because the new life will live different than the old life. The old life, you lived according to the prince of the power of the air. You did the things that the world did. You enjoyed the joy of the world. You walked that way. But now you've got new life. We don't do those things anymore. We don't live that way anymore. And it's not you trying to do it. It's just a different life. It's a different nature. The life that was in Christ is now in you. And it acts different. It walks different. It lives different. It walks higher. It doesn't backstab. It doesn't gossip. It doesn't tear down. It doesn't try and lift itself up. It doesn't try and get its own way. It's sacrificial. It's desiring the best for others. It's walking in the Word of God according to the will of God. It's walking in power. It's not defeated. It's not beat down.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is from God's provided place of worship. He says, look what it did and what it does to you when it comes in. It don't make you go out and say, oh, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, or I know I oughtn't to smoke. I know I oughtn't to do this. I oughtn't to wear these kind of clothes. I ought to, right? What is he expressing? He's talking about, I know mentally what is expected of, you know, what a believer is supposed to look like. And so I'm going to do those things and walk in that legalistic experience. God, quiet. Amen. I belong to this church. I belong to that church. I'm message. Not I'm Methodist. I'm Baptist. I'm message. I know that a message believer is supposed to look like this. He says, it so quickens you.
Amen.
Till you have to do it. It's not even, brother, sister, that you want to, but you do want to. You have to.
Amen.
Because that's what you are.
Yes.
My dad and I were talking about this with Brother Doug the other day. We were having some fellowship, and we were talking about you just do what you are.
Amen.
You have to do what you are. Right? You're not a predestinated seed of God because you do all these things. You do all these things or don't do them because you are a predestinated seed of God. Because that's who you are.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think the example that we used was we were looking at some birds, you know, eating bird seed. And you don't tell a bird, hey, you need to eat bird seed. I mean, look, this is what it says in the book. The field manual for birds. You are going to eat this certain kind of seed. Well, it does say that in the field manual. But why does it say that? Because it's in the nature of that bird to eat that certain kind of seed. And so the manual is there a reflection of what the Creator has already put in the bird. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We don't smash devils just because the word says we're supposed to smash devils. Amen. Come on, somebody. We smash devils because that's what a son or a daughter of God does. Amen. We didn't start that fight. They came against you. And your nature is to say, well, devil, this is what the word of God says. Your nature is to say, you say this, Satan, but my papa says this. And I'm taking his word. Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. You know, you try to do that without that life, and you'll be like the sons of Sceva. And they'll say, well, we know Paul, and we know this one and that one, but who are you? Right? Where's the life? You're not who you say you are. But if you've got that life, you can't help but do it. He says, it so quickens you till you have to do it. It quickens your mortal bodies. Look, it quickened their bodies until they flew so close to heaven. It quickened their body to speak in a language that they never heard of before. Now, they didn't get together ahead of time. He's talking about the day of Pentecost, right? When the Holy Spirit came down and they began to speak with other tongues, right? And they fulfilled that scripture in Joel. Now, they didn't get together ahead of time and say, okay, brothers, you know what it says in the Bible, in the scripture, Joel, remember this prophecy, and so this is really what we're supposed to be. They weren't doing that. Amen. The life came down. Amen. And made them alive, quickened them. The life of God came in them, and then they automatically began to do what the scripture said. Oh, hallelujah. He says, they spoke in a new heavenly language. They were quickened into the presence of God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God's quickening power baptized them into that. They were in the place of worship then. They were where they could worship. The Sanhedrin or nothing else could ever bother them. Yeah, all that old stuff just it didn't bother them anymore. It just passed away. Amen. Oh, sure, they still had to deal with it, right, in the flesh, but it had no power over them anymore. He says that's after they was baptized. Amen. And just one more here. It is the rising of the sun. He says, now, how many has got the quickening power? So he's about to pray for the people, right? And as many times they would have a prayer line, but many times he would just have everybody pray for each other. But he says, look, how many of you has got that quickening power? He says, now, lay your hands on one another if that quickening power is in you. I so appreciate this, right? He wasn't pointing to himself and his own ministry. He was trying to point you to Christ and the Holy Spirit and what he was doing in the church. And he's telling you, look, you got that quickening power. You got as much right. In fact, you've got as much call, and if there's a desire to lay hands on someone else and pray for them as I do, or anybody else does. Essentially, that's what he's saying, right? Now, there's only one thing he says to keep it from hindering, and he says, that's your unbelief. A woman touched his garment, was made whole. A Roman soldier spit in his face and went to hell. So he's talking about two different people that touched Jesus, right? One touched him with faith. One spit in his face. One, you know, hit him. They punched him and hit him and so forth. They touched him, right? But went to hell. See, so it depends on where you're at. Do you believe it? Now, I want you to bow your head and pray for one another and just pray right out and say, Lord, this person. So you just pray for one another. So, brother, sister, when we're truly made alive, the old fetters of man's religion just fall away. Amen. The old things with the Sanhedrin and Rome and churches, right? And men's rules and stuff, that just falls away. It's left in the dust when we're made alive. Amen. Amen. Given new life. Amen. Are you thankful for that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that you came looking for us, Lord. You came seeking after us, Lord, when we were not able. We've never been able, Lord, to help ourselves. But yet, Lord, through your grace and mercy, Lord, you came and you've made us alive again. You've given us new life, Lord. Help us to walk in newness of life, Father. I pray, Lord, that this would just, if there are those who have received that life, Lord, those my brothers and sisters I know, Lord, that have walked in this for many years in this life. But Father, I pray you just remind them this morning, oh God, how good you are and what you have done for us. Lord, what power there is in it, and that we've left behind those things of the world, that we're not subject to those things anymore. Those things don't have a hold on us. When we've been put up on the shoulders of the great shepherd, we're not worried about the storms of life. We're not worried about the things that are happening. We're not worried about pandemics and politics and wars and rumors of wars. And those are things of this earth. But we're just resting in the Master's hands. We're just thanking God. We're just walking in a new day, a new life. We're living in heavenly places. Oh, Father, Lord, if there's those that are listening to this, Lord, here or in the future, Father, and they haven't walked in that quickening power, Lord. Maybe they've been in and out and up and down, but yet they know that they need that to be made alive. They need that life, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would just draw them, Lord, this morning. God, I don't believe that this was preached in vain, Lord. I believe that there's a purpose behind it, Lord. And I believe it's part of the way that you call. It's just one facet of the great magnet, the great Holy Spirit that's moving through the earth, looking for his lost sheep. And Father, I pray that you would just move on the hearts this morning. Those that need to surrender, Lord. If there's a desire there to surrender to you, if there's a desire there for the Holy Spirit, if there's any desire there to be made alive, it's because you're pulling, Lord, on the other end. Lord, you're moving. You're drawing them. I pray, Father, that as you would call and you would draw, Lord, that they would not turn you away, Lord. That they would not push it off, Lord. That they would not say, well, maybe next time or next service or I'll wait. No, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Lord, that they would respond quickly, Lord. That they would allow that magnet just to draw them in, Lord. That they would call back to the shepherd who's calling their voice and say, Lord, here I am, Lord. Don't pass me by, oh God. I'm here, Lord. Lift me up on your shoulders today, oh God. Quicken me with new life, Lord. Lord, I pray that they would just surrender to you right now, Lord. Lord, that they would just let go and let you have your way, oh God. Bless them, Lord. Now we just commit them into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And as we just sing that little song, that this chorus as they're playing softly, you just let the Master draw you today. Maybe you know you're his child, but you just let him just draw you in. Put you on his shoulders, give you strength for the journey. Amen. Just let him speak to you and remind you what he's done for you. Hallelujah. If you haven't received him, you just receive him right now in Jesus' name. You accept him. Amen. You let him come and just burn all the sin out of your life. Fill you with his life. Amen. We're just going to sing and worship softly. His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Oh, Lord, please come. Take control. I feel.